In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing with number 13 of these ways that the priest has to begin to live. And it says, linked with Louisa, the priest must be the defender and the savior of Jesus himself. So he is the first one to defend the church, defend the dogma and doctrine, to defend our Lord himself, as it says here. In today's world, it seems as if a lot of times the priesthood is, as Jesus says, the laughingstock of humanity. And for a priest to stand and, you know, make a stand to what is truth is very important. And the priest does this by, you know, praying his breviary every day, getting ready for Holy Mass, spending time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, praying the rosary, wearing the scapular. It's to embrace these blessings that the church has had over the years, and to really fall deeper and deeper in love with God. To spend that time in front of the Blessed Sacrament is so essential. This is what our God is asking. When you read the Book of Heaven, Jesus says, you know, will you not spend time with me? As he said to the apostles during that time of the agony in the garden, would you spend just an hour with me? And like I've mentioned before, when I saw Bishop Sheen in our seminary, he spent an hour kneeling in adoration, kneeling in love with Jesus, just, you know, focused on the tabernacle. We should have in every parish Eucharistic adoration where we can see Jesus and look at Jesus. This, again, is so essential. In volume 18, 11, 5, 25, Jesus says, the ordination constitutes man to a supreme height, to a divine character. Again, this is very humbling for the priest, any priest, to realize that, you know, the priest is, you know, usually the weakest. God chooses the weakest to make sure that we know that it's not the priest that's doing this. And the ordination constitutes a man to a supreme height, to a divine character. At the ordination, you're ontologically changed. You now become alter Christus, another Christ, which can never be taken away from you. Even in hell, the priest will be known as a priest. It's the same thing for baptism. Once you're baptized Catholic, you're ontologically changed. You're no longer a son or daughter of Adam. You become a son or daughter of God. So this ordination constitutes a man to a supreme height, to a divine character. And for the laity, which is really important to help a priest understand this character, this divine character that he's called to, you should always ask for a priest's blessing. Always ask for that. It helps the priest understand that what he can do, no other human can do. He can give Christ's blessing. And it's the priest doing the blessing, you know, but it's Jesus's blessing. That's why when you leave Mass before the blessing, you miss out on a blessing from Jesus Christ through the priest that really helps you get through the week if you go to church on Sunday. It's a great blessing for everyone. And the book, I don't have it here. I normally have it here. It must be in the other room. the Roman rituale, you learn that there is so much that a priest can bless. There is so much that needs blessing. If the priest uses or uses the formula for exercised holy water, it really is powerful. Any priest can do the blessing, and the blessing now is, may this water be blessed, all who use it, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now that's blessed water. Exercised water is a little more of the words that are spoken by the priest that the demons hear in just the sprinkling of the holy water, and the demons flee. I think it was one of the saints said that if the priest used exercised holy water more, the demons wouldn't have the chokehold that they have on humanity today. And that's the same thing with everything, you know, the blessing of the fields, the blessing of the fruit, the blessing of the water, the blessing of the oil, the blessing of the bells. It brings about this abundant life of angelic life versus the demonic. So the priest is to be the repeater of Jesus's life, the administer of the holy sacraments. So again, like every day, the priest gives the people the opportunity to receive Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. Every day, with penance, it's you can give the people the time to confess their sins and get the absolution of the priest. This is how Jesus has set it up. The revealer of Jesus's divine secrets. Now, this is what Jesus tells Louisa. He tells Louisa, the Holy Spirit is going to reveal to you the divine secrets, the divine treasures, which you will then enlighten the priest to know. And then the priest will be able to lead, guide, and direct the people. So he says, as the daughter of Adam, Adam's offspring, the daughter of Adam took this gift away, my daughter, Louisa, will give this gift back to the man. And the man mainly is the man with the keys to the kingdom. And that's why, you know, there's such a turmoil going on in the world today, because the evil one couldn't take this away from Louisa. But he's trying his darndest to cause confusion and cause disruption in the church. So the revealer of God's divine secrets. And as you read, as you study, as you put this into practice, God reveals, he's the word, he's always speaking. He reveals what he has planned. For example, Mary Magdalene didn't recognize Jesus when she saw him in the garden. But when he spoke to her, she recognized him. And it's the same thing now. We have a hard time recognizing how to be perfected, to be perfect, as our Heavenly Father is perfect. And Jesus is speaking, and we begin to hear his voice. Now, maybe not with our ears, but with our hearts, our minds, our souls, we begin to understand what Jesus is saying. And in this book of heaven, we really hear Jesus every day if we wish. We really hear him. And he leads us, he guides us, he directs us to this universal life, this Catholic life that Adam lost, and Jesus and Mary bring back to the world, to the church, to humanity. So this revealing of secrets is essential to hear God. Now, the two on the way to Emmaus, they didn't recognize Jesus either. And when he was at the breaking of the bread, that's when they recognized him. And it's the same thing. What we have now in the Holy Church is the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist. And Jesus is revealed to the souls who go to Holy Mass. And now, even more than that, Jesus says to Louisa, I'm going to teach you about the first bread, the bread of the divine will, the bread that Adam ate, the, the bread that Jesus and Mary lived on, the bread that they fed Louisa for those 70 years. So it's not only the revealing of divine secrets, divine treasures, he says, but of my gospel. So when we read sacred scripture, we become more aware of what Jesus is doing. Like he shows Louisa when he brings back to life the young man, the only son of a widowed mother. Jesus says, this is what I'm going to do for humanity. I'm going to bring humanity back from the dead, back from a life that God gave and it's gone. And this life that God gave, breathed into Adam, was the image and likeness of God. And when Adam did his own human will, he lost that image and likeness of God. And God wants to breathe that back in. He wants to take us off that litter and begin to live a new and abundant life. That's exactly what John Paul II said. You're going to enter a new and divine way of holiness. So this gospel also is, he calls the book of heaven. He says the book of heaven is the gospel of the kingdom. And he uses that term very clearly, very importantly for us to understand what he says in Matthew 24 about the gospel of the kingdom. Until it's proclaimed to all the world, the kingdom can't be established. So, and of the most sacred science, this is what I see in the Roman Rituali. When I read that book, when I read the blessings in that book, it's to understand the science of all that is in the earth. And it, little by little, we become more and more aware of why water, why oil, why wine, why bread, why earth. Why, you know, it's Jesus is revealing this sacred science that Adam lost. And so in the new era, Jesus tells Louisa that we won't have to go to school. We will know it. It will be part of our nature to understand this sacred science. And right now it's the priest's responsibility to help people want to understand the sacred science of humanity, of the earth, of the heavens, of the angelic, the power of the priesthood, which I've mentioned before, it's not taught in the seminary. What the power of the priesthood is, it's as the priest, you know, becomes a priest after the ordination, little by little, God begins to show him this sacred science. The revealer of God's divine secrets, the administer of the sacraments, the secrets of the Holy Gospel. This is what's coming. So Jesus says, the priest becomes the peacemaker between heaven and earth. Everybody needs healing. We need physical, spiritual, mental, emotional healing. Everyone. And the priest, with the power of the priesthood, because it's Jesus, the priest brings about these healings because Jesus wants this done. And that's why when you look at what he says to the apostles, heal the sick, bring life to the dead, cast out demons. What is coming? Now, this is the thing that's so astonishing. The priesthood, the holy priesthood, is going to bring about a new and divine way of holiness for humanity. And it's not known at this point. For example, the sacred science is not known at this point. So little by little, as the priest dies to his ego and will, dies to power, prestige, finance, gets rid of all of that and strives to live the life that Jesus lived, then he says that priest then can be the peacemaker between heaven and earth, the bearer of Jesus to souls. So the first bearer was our Blessed Mother, and she gave to the earth Jesus. And Jesus says that the priests now have to give him to humanity. And this is why in a parish, the priest is responsible for every soul in his parish. for the bishop, he's responsible for every person in the diocese, every person, not just the Catholics, the Buddhists, the Hindus, the Muslims, the Protestants, the atheists. He is the pastor, the shepherd of all the people there. And his prayer, his fasting, his penance, what the bishop and the priests are called to do brings healing, brings, as he says here, this peace between heaven and earth. The person is no longer separated from the love of God. The person is no longer wandering aimlessly on earth. It's the priest is to give the purpose to humanity. And so the priest, as he prays before Mass, as he prays after Mass, teaches the people how to worship God. When the priest is there in front of the Blessed Sacrament, when the priest is there leading the Holy Rosary, when the priest is there, bringing the people the scapular, the sacraments and the sacramentals, what happens is the person begins to understand there is more to life than what the news media says. There's more to life than what the movies, the Hollywood says. It's more to life than comic books. Everybody, what's the movies today? What are they? They're comic books. It's about heroes. We have heroes. We have the saints. Well, in the breviary, we read every day a portion of what that saint wants us to understand from a divine perspective. And now Jesus is saying, with Louisa, I want you to enter into this new and divine way of holiness, where you can lead, guide, and direct people to who? To Jesus Christ himself. To be the bearer of Jesus to souls. So again, he starts out, the ordination constitutes a man to the supreme height, to a divine character. That's completely humbling for a priest. It's completely astonishing that God would ask a soul to become a priest. It's just astonishing. The ordination is the sacrament which encloses all other sacraments together. So without the priest, there's no other sacraments without the priest. With the priest, there is this opening to the divine science, as Jesus talks about, the sacred science. With the priest, you have baptism and penance. You have confirmation of the priest. I mean, the bishop does that. And Eucharistic, beginning to enter into this Eucharistic life, the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist, marriage, anointing of the sick. It's the ordination is the sacrament which encloses all the other sacraments, which brings us to Jesus, which is essential. Therefore, if the ordained one is able to preserve whole within himself the character he has received, he will almost place all of the sacraments in safety. So we see that with what the church wants the priest to do, it's to help the laity obtain the sacraments. So the sacraments are in safety if he is able to preserve within himself the character of what? A supreme height, a divine character, the repeater of Jesus's life, the administer of the sacraments, the revealer of the divine secrets, the revealer of the gospel, the revealer of the sacred science, the peacemaker between heaven and earth, the bearer of Jesus to souls. So this is why we pray every day for the bishop and the priests. We pray every day for the priesthood, those in the priesthood, because the devil's after them. The devil's after the priest because if he can stop them, he can stop a parish. If he can stop a bishop, he can stop a diocese. And so our call is to pray for bishops, for priests. So it says very, very clearly, therefore, If the ordained one is able to preserve whole within himself the character of Jesus that he has received, he will almost place all the other sacraments in safety. He will be the defender. He will be the savior of Jesus himself. So what the priest does, the parish follows. If the priest is in there in front of the Blessed Sacrament, in front of the monstrance, if the priest is praying before Mass and after Mass, if the priest is praying the Holy Rosary with the people, if the priest is living that Catholic life that he loves, he says he will be the defender and of Jesus himself. So that first paragraph that Jesus says in volume 18, the ordination constitutes a man to a supreme height, to a divine character, to the repeater of the life of Jesus, is essential for the priest. And it's the laity's responsibility to say to the priest, Father, give me your blessing. You know, Father, you know, if whatever you need, say to the priest, remember this in your prayers. Remember this. And God answers that prayer of the priest. It's very, very powerful. A number of times the miracles that happen, it's in no way because of who the priest is, but Jesus in the priest performing those miracles. So number 14, linked with Luisa. And again, this is always important. Jesus says to Luisa, Luisa, you were the first one linked to me and my mother. All other humanity will be linked to me and my mother through you, Luisa. So the more that we are linked with Luisa, the more we are linked to Jesus and Mary. The priest must conduct himself with the sweetness and peace of Jesus. This is again, the temperament, human inadequacies of humanity, and that's all going to change. This is what he says. The priest must conduct himself with the sweetness and peace of Jesus. The priest has to fall in love with the people as Jesus loves the people. The people must be able to see only Jesus and the things of Jesus in the priest. Now you see why the laity has to pray for the priests. They're again, like I said, usually the weakest, and the evil one causes a lot of difficulties, and the priest has to be so in love with Jesus, so one with Jesus, that the sweetness and peace of Jesus is reigning in the priest. It's there, and the people must be able to see only Jesus and the things of Jesus in the priest. Okay, so this again is a big challenge. It's a great responsibility, because the first thing the priest wants to do is a lot of times react the way most people react, and he can't. He has to be peaceful. He has to be joyful. He has to be happy. The priest must be that mother when there's thunderstorms and the little children run to the mother and go, we're afraid. The priest has to have that. Everything's going to be okay. There's nothing to worry about. Jesus is going to take care of the situation. Even in the tragedies that are around us, God is going to take care of it. The priest has to give the laity the hope that it's going to be all right, because it's going to get tough. It's going to get real tough. We're going to be in a real bumpy road, but God wins. And it's not what we have to go through. It's the trust, the confidence, the hope. The Christian hope is certitude. We are certain God's going to take care of the situation. And again, each priest has to go through what Jesus went through. He has to be rejected, misunderstood, abandoned, spit upon. And if you've noticed that the Latin vestments, especially the fiddleback, there's a pillar on the front of the vestment. Because the priest is going to be scourged, and it's usually by the laity. And then the cross in the back is the priest must be crucified. So it's, we have to understand that each priest has to go through this to the point of being utterly rejected, even by their family, by their friends, by their neighbors, by their coworkers, by their parishioners, to, because that's what Jesus went through. That's what Mary went through. And Jesus and Mary are still going through this. And when the priest puts on those vestments, it's to symbolize that, yes, we have to go through this. We have to, no matter what, the people must be able to see only Jesus and the things of Jesus in the priest. The priest must conduct himself with sweetness and peace as he carries his cross. He can't be afraid. He's got to be confident in God. He has to show the people that, yes, this is difficult, but God's going to win. God's going to win. And we're with God. And the more that we focus on the Eucharist, the more we focus on Holy Mass, the more we lead people to encourage them to participate at Mass as much as they can during the week, what happens at that point is they become strong. They begin to understand the love of Jesus for them. When you meditate on Christ crucified, when you meditate on Christ crucified, you begin to see the love of Jesus. When you meditate on Jesus, the Eucharist, you begin to see this prisoner of love, as Pope St. John Paul II said. We're with this prisoner of love. And what happens at that point is we want to spend time with this prisoner of love. He is our priority in our life. And that helps souls when they're going through their difficulties to say, okay, this is what I have to do. I have to be one with Jesus. He's my Lord, my Savior, my Master, my King. He's my all. He's going to take care of it. So as John 3:30 says, Jesus must increase, but I must decrease. It's not about the priest. It's about Jesus. It's not about what they want. You know, it's what God wants. He must increase. I must decrease. Hebrews 12:14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see God. Okay, so this peace, this holiness, this purity, this, Jesus said to Louisa, patience is more powerful than purity. Now think about that. Jesus wants us to enter into this trust in God, this belief in God, this hope in God. Our Lady says, the children of America will bring purity to the world. What is purity? It's the true life of Jesus. It's the true life of Mary that was given to Louisa. That's the pure life of God, that God wants the priest to live first and then giving it to the laity. It's very, very important. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see God. So we want to see God. We want to see God. When you're in front of the Blessed Sacrament, it's not a time, the monstrance, it's not a time to be reading a book. It's a time to be focused on Jesus. And St. Teresa says, well, if you can't think of anything to say to Jesus while looking at him, read a passage and then focus on Jesus. Read something to get your mind back in order so that you can be one with Jesus. So we fall more and more in love with Jesus every day that we're in front of the Blessed Sacrament. And this is the strength that the priest needs to go through ridicule and being mocked and laughed at and ignored and ridiculed by family and friends. It's to make sure that we are always one with Jesus. That's what has to happen. I think I mentioned Father Delp, D-E-L-P, an amazing man, amazing priest, who, as he's, you know, going to be executed by the Nazis during World War II, he wrote the most beautiful things, filled with hope, filled with confidence in God, while being imprisoned and shackled. And when you read this beauty of these souls who love Jesus, it helps us get to the point of what Jesus gave to Louisa. We have to have that sanctity, that's volume 1 through volume 10, of doing the will of God that the saints have shown us, so that we can then enter into living in the will of God through the power of the Holy Spirit, this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's going to come upon the earth. We have to begin to live that now, filled with peace, filled with joy, filled with happiness. This love that our God wants us to enter into, to, as he says, to give to the people, to give to the people so that the people can become trusting in him, believing in him, hoping in him. So he says, the Catechism 260, the ultimate end of the whole divine economy is the entry of God's creature into the perfect unity of the Blessed Trinity. That's our goal. Our goal, see, that's why in the morning when we do our prevenient act, we say to the Lord, to Jesus, you know, I want to be fused with you by fusing myself with the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I want to fuse myself with the triune God by fusing myself with Jesus, Mary, and Louisa, the reflection of the Trinity on earth. I want to fuse myself with all that you have given me in creation, redemption, and sanctification. See, we want to, the whole economy is to enter basically the entry of God's creature into the perfect unity of the Blessed Trinity, to participate in God. This is the priest's job. And then he gives it to the laity. But even now, we are called to be a dwelling for the Most Holy Trinity. And this is why we fuse ourselves. The drop of water that's put into the chalice represents us at Holy Mass. May we share in the divinity of Christ. As St. Peter says, we are called to be divinized, not to become gods, but to share in divinity. We are called to be a dwelling for the Most Holy Trinity. And then Jesus says, if a man loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. This is the divine will. It's to be one with our triune God. It's to be focused on our triune God. And again, as you're reading, as you're studying, as you're putting into practice the truth that Jesus gave to Louisa, more and more, the soul is more and more in love with God. And this is what God is asking. Oh, my God, Trinity, whom I adore, help me to forget myself entirely, so to establish myself in you, unmovable and peaceful, as if my soul were already in eternity. So we are called to live in heaven while on earth. We are called to be peaceful, joyful, and happy. Heaven. He says, as if my soul were already in eternity, may nothing be able to trouble my peace, nor make me leave you, my unchanging God. May each minute bring me more deeply into your divine majesty. Grant my soul peace. Make it your heaven, your beloved dwelling, and a place of your rest. May I never abandon you there, but may I be there whole and entire, completely vigilant in my faith, entirely adoring and wholly giving over to your creative action. Okay, that's the from the Catechism. This is going to be more than you can imagine, because the time now that God has given to the earth, as John Paul II said, it's a new and divine way of holiness, unseen by the saints to this point, unknown to the saints to this point. And so what God is going to do, as you read, as you study, everything begins to change. Heaven becomes part of our life. Volume 7, 12, 3, 0, 6. Everything in you must be sweetness and peace in such a way that it may be said of you that which is said about me, Jesus, that nothing but milk and honey flows within me, symbolizing the sweetness with honey and the peace with milk. I am so filled and soaked with them that they pour out from my eyes and from my mouth and from all my works. So here Jesus is saying, we're going to enter into this life of Jesus. But he wants it now. He wants, you look at everybody. Everybody's upset. Everybody's worried. Everybody's fearful. Everybody's anxious. Everybody's complaining. Everybody's negative. People are on edge. Why? They're far from Jesus. And it's the priest's job to bring them to this oneness with God. He says, and if you are not likewise like Jesus, I feel dishonored by you. Because while one who is all peace and sweetness dwells within you, Jesus, you do not honor me by showing even the slightest shadow of resentful and restless heart. So here, he's saying we can't be like the rest of the world. Again, the rest of the world doesn't have ordination that constitutes a man to a supreme height, to a divine character. So Jesus says this to each priest, I love this sweetness and peace so much that even if it were about something great concerning my honor and my glory, I never approve resentful, violent, fiery manners, but rather sweet and peaceful manners. In fact, sweetness alone is that which binds hearts like a chain in such a way that they cannot unbind themselves. It is like pitch that sticks to them and they cannot free themselves and are forced to say, in this soul, this is talking about priests, there is the finger of God, for we cannot act otherwise. So what the Lord is showing is he is going to change us. The Lord is going to do this, but we have to cooperate. Okay, cooperating with the Lord is for each priest to basically make a vow to spend time with the Lord each day, not for 5 minutes, but for an hour, but the whole hour, that this hour belongs to Jesus. And what the Lord will say is good. If you're already doing this, he's going to say, good. You've learned how to discipline yourself. He says, now he's going to say, read the book of heaven. He's going to say, read a little bit and then look at me. I just got a call from somebody today and he just says, I can't get over the divine will. He says, it is so amazing. It is so amazing. Every now and then he calls that's all he says is, do you know what this means? Do you know what God is doing? And I go, no, tell me, because it's so good to hear what God is doing with souls who are reading. And that's the second part. In this soul, there is the finger of God, therefore we cannot act any other way. The souls want heaven. The souls have enough misery in the world. And Jesus is offering heaven to them through the priesthood. Again, the miracles that are going to come through the priesthood, Jesus says, are unheard of prodigies that are going to occur. Unheard of prodigies. So the priest is called to live in his nothingness, to live in his littleness, to live in his, as Father Bucci says, to live in the divine will, yet to be little, insignificant, and hidden. It's not about us. It's about God. It's about the Lord. And to be invisible. We were taught that as altar boys, to make sure that you are invisible on the altar. No shuffling of your feet, no yawning, it was become invisible. Sit so still that you're like a statue. And that, I remember going through that as a child, as an altar boy, and boy, that was tough. That was really tough to sit still I can't still sit still now, but to sit still and become invisible. And again, it's a discipline. It's a discipline that God is calling us to. It's not about us. It's about God. And our focus when we genuflect is to genuflect. When we bless ourselves, it's to bless ourselves. It's not just be swatting flies. I see the children do that. Yesterday I saw the children, you know, making the sign of the cross. It was really hilarious. They got to be taught to this is we want to be blessed by you, Father, you Son, you Holy Spirit. Bless me. We want this blessing. And so Jesus says, and then if I do not like a resentful manner, not even creatures will like it. Now, if one speaks about or deals with things, even of God, with manners that are not sweet and peaceful, it is a sign that that soul does not have his passions in order. And one who does not keep himself in order cannot order others. There's no direction. It's misdirection. Therefore, be careful with anything which is not sweet and peace, if you do not want to dishonor me, Jesus. That's what he's saying. Be careful with anything which is not sweetness, not gentleness, not loving, not kindness, if you do not want to dishonor Jesus. So the priest has a big responsibility, a duty before God himself, and it's the layperson's responsibility to pray for the priests. It's the priests need prayers more than you could ever imagine, especially today. The bishops need prayers more than ever before. Why? We are going through every heresy that ever affected the church over these last 2,000 years all at once. It's all happening at once. And the heresies, the things I've been hearing, it's the evil one is all out. He wants to destroy the church. And the way to destroy the church is to destroy the priesthood. And he knows that. So what we have right now is an opportunity, as Jesus said to Louisa. He said, I will have an army of priests who will lead, guide, and direct the people. So there's nothing to worry about. God's going to do this. But our job, the layperson's job, is to pray for priests, pray for bishops. We have to have the faith of Joan of Arc, where Joan of Arc, as the 16-year-old girl, listened to God and led an army and defeated another army and was wounded. Besides, if that grace is given to a 16-year-old girl, I am sure God will give, he's got the grace for the priesthood, even more so. Because God is going to, he says to this to Louisa, we haven't seen anything yet. We haven't seen the glory of the church, the new springtime of mankind. We haven't seen the this abundant light, abundant life, abundant love of this great gift of the divine will. This is coming. Just Jesus, when you read, Jesus says, hey, get ready for this because it's going to be mind-blowing what God is going to do. It's never been seen before. It's of heaven. It's not of earth. If we think the things of earth are beautiful, the sky and the sea, all that's out there, Jesus says, wait till you see what I'm going to show you about heaven, heaven on earth. That's the priest's job. And pray, because good things are right around the corner. So we'll end with a prayer. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command for all the little children, the holy divine will, to be divinely healed in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We believe, we receive. Fiat. Alleluia.